an historic occasion for Chattanooga's arts scene. The first ever major film festival in Chattanooga has begun. The Chattanooga Film Festival kicked off with A Life in the Death of Joe Meek. I'm Mike Miller here with Rachel Smith, and Rachel was there at the premiere and the Q&A afterward with the directors. So first of all, for people who don't know Joe Meek, who is Joe Meek? Why did they make a documentary film about him?
Well, first off, I have to say that this is probably the best movie they could have opened with.
Okay.
It's like DIY cubed. So it's DIY initially because it's a guy who was in the record business who, if he didn't have a sound he liked, created his own sound. He literally did it himself. He created all kinds of sonic landscapes. He was a pioneer. He recorded tons and tons of acts.
What
that
era
really,
was he recording in?
It was late 50s, mostly early to mid 60s, because he died, I think, 67.
Okay, so this was, yeah. So
this
it
was
been
pre-Beatles.
Yeah.
This was
Before you could buy digital effects. Or
absolutely.
Any,
so
yeah.
He's the ultimate DIY. So the filmmakers are the ultimate DIY. This is a Kickstarter project. They actually, a labor of love. One of the producers was there tonight. His name's Howard Berger. He was there. That's how they got this produced. They really just wanted to set the record straight. There's been a documentary by the BBC that came out, and there was just a lot of misinformation, and they felt like he's this really important guy who his legacy has been lost somewhat and his reputation tainted by some misinformation. And then it's DIY times three because Chris Dorch decides, you know what, let's make a film festival.
Yeah.
So it kind of came full circle. I think it was a great way to start off the festival.
And Chris Dorch, if the listeners don't know, the director of the film festival, the guy who, as you said, put it kind of all together, started out heading Mise-en-Scenesters, which has had many screenings for several years here in Chattanooga.
Correct. And this was, like I said, this was a great choice for the first one.
Okay, so, well, again, so he was this producer, but what was the film about? I mean, what is his story? Why do people still care about him?
You know, he died at 37, so, and he started, I guess, in his early 20s. So it's a really short amount of time chronologically. But he was basically the first independent producer. Everyone at the time were industry people. They worked for the labels. They were yes men. This dude did not say yes. He said, I'm going to do it my way. He built crazy recording studios in places that were not meant to be recording studios, bathrooms, and he converted an apartment above a leather factory. And he got all these weird, crazy sounds out of musicians that no one had heard before. He did all kinds of things you weren't supposed to do. Back then, one of the things that was so interesting about the film is the recording engineers, they were engineers. They wore lab coats, they had thick glasses, and they were the nerds. And
yeah.
This dude was not a nerd. He took everything and skewed it and turned it on its side and made sounds that no one had heard before. And he couldn't read music, he couldn't play anything. It was all in his head.
It's the perfect choice for a producer.
And he was probably tone deaf. They actually played a couple of snippets of him singing and then talked to people in the film that had heard him sing, and it was atrocious. It was awful. He's not on any pitch that's correct. But he still managed to produce these incredible works and get them out of other musicians.
And so the film festival here in Chattanooga has kicked off with that. Again, this is the major film festival that everyone thought wasn't going to happen for at least another 8 or 10 years. Tell me about the afterward, though. I mean, not only was this the North American premiere of this documentary here in Chattanooga, but as you were saying, they brought in people who made the film. What did they have to say?
They did. They brought in Howard Berger. He was one of two producers. Susan Stallman, I believe, is the name of the other producer. She was working. She wasn't there. And also Richie Rutledge, who is a musician who worked under Joe Meek. He was a famous sessions musician. He's been in a lot of Joe Meek's singles. And he was there. He'd actually never seen the movie in its entirety until tonight,
wow,
which was kind of cool. He was featured in a couple of scenes. But it's a documentary. It has a documentary feel. So after it was over, Howard took some questions from the audience. And it was really like getting your own DVD extras because
yeah,
there were just all kinds of stuff he revealed and he kind of added to that we had already seen. And there's so much more of the story that could have been told. And, I mean, it was 2 hours, and it was two good hours. I think they did a good job of keeping it pretty on topic, but there's a whole lot more to the story of a man that was 37 years old.
So what was your overall impression of this? Was it a successful start to the film? Did the audience like it?
I think so. I mean, everybody, it was funny. The movie had moments of humor. It really humanized this guy. It didn't make him a, it didn't exalt him into some sort of, you know, mythical being of just this god in the industry who could do no wrong, but it didn't demonize him either. It just was a guy who was really creative and did all kinds of amazing things. And one of the things I think that was the most interesting is this guy was a workaholic. And the producer, Howard, after it, he was talking about the things that contributed to the end of his life. He had some issues, Joe, not Howard, the producer. And they said that Howard calculated it and that he only slept, Joe would only sleep about 7 hours a week for around 7 years of his life.
What?
Yeah. He stayed awake all night on amphetamines and just crazy drive.
Well, I mean, at the end, he killed his landlady and then himself.
Well, he did. He, towards
that,
the end
that
of
makes
his...
some sense there now.
Drug use was really just amphetamine, so I don't think there was any prolonged issue of like heavy drug use. But there was that. There was the not sleeping. There was he kind of maybe had some paranoia issues in general. You know, one of the things I really liked about the film is they said at the end is they didn't bring up, and Howard was talking about this after the film ended, they didn't bring up the multiple theories of whether he actually someone else murdered him or, you know, what actually happened there at the end, because there no one was really there to see it. There were just two. I mean, he was dead and his landlady was dead, and everyone kind of assumed that he shot her and then turned the gun on himself. There's a lot of people that apparently don't think that's the way it happened, but they didn't even delve into that.
That sounds like that would be a whole separate
thing. Didn't pass any judgments on the guy. They didn't say who was right and wrong in the movie. They just said, this is what this person thinks. This is what this person thinks.
Right. Well, is there anything else you want to say?
I don't think so. But if you need something to do this weekend, you should go out to the film festival. Chattanooga is very lucky to have it. Howard even said tonight that he was impressed that we should have at least one film festival in a city this size. So Chattanooga needs to get out and support it.
Great. And you can find more information on the film at WUTC.org. I am Mike Miller.
I'm Rachel Smith.